In today's gospel, Christ heals the man born blind and leads him to faith. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is." But others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on the Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes and washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he now see?" His parents answered and said, "We know this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age. Question him." So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind, and now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from." The man answered and said to them, "This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and you are trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord," and he worshiped him. Then Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not also blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, 'We see,' so your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I'm sure that most of us who are here this morning recognize that the greatest detective in the history of the world is Sherlock Holmes, at least in literature. There's a wonderful little story told in one of the Sherlock Holmes books about a time when Sherlock Holmes and his good friend Dr. Watson were out camping. So nighttime came, they crawled into their sleeping bags and they're laying there looking up, and Watson says to Holmes, "Holmes, look at those stars. Aren't those stars beautiful, the grand expanse of the sky?" Holmes says, "Watson, what do those stars tell you?" Watson says, "Well, I think they tell me that tomorrow is going to be a beautiful day." "What do they tell you, Holmes?" Holmes says, "They tell me that somebody stole our tent." So you see, Watson didn't see very well what was right in front of his eyes, so to speak. Somebody stole the tent. It's a wonderful little story that puts into perspective today's readings, especially the gospel. Question for us is, what do we see, and with what eyes do we see it? Is it possible that we have eyes to see, but that we remain spiritually blind? In other words, do you and I see things the way God sees them, or only the way the world sees them? Do we see things through the eyes of God or through the eyes of the world? Because if all we see is through the eyes of the world, then we are spiritually blind. For example, look at that first reading today. God sends the prophet Samuel to anoint the new king of Israel among the sons of Jesse. So Samuel gets there, and he's a prophet, remember, and he sees Jesse's oldest son, Eliab, a giant of a man, a great warrior. And looking at things through the eyes of the world, Samuel says, "This must be the one." God says, "No, it's not him." Because God sees differently than the eyes of the world. God sees the heart. And ultimately, he calls David with a pure heart, who's anointed king. See, it's easy to see things only through the eyes of the world and to be spiritually blind. I mean, just taking that whole question of physical appearance as one example. I was reading someplace not long ago that if you and I were able to take all the money that is spent on beauty aids in this country every year, we could pay off the debt of most third world countries. The amount of money spent on product, on nips and tucks, all those sorts of things, we could pay off third world debt. And I was, by the way, this is an interesting little fact. Did you know that 50% of the facelifts done in this country are done on men? 50% of the facelifts in this country are done on men today. Another little tip I'll give you for free. You don't have to pay for this one. You know how sometimes you get up in the morning and your eyes are all puffy and everything? You like to make your eyes look good? You have two options. You can go out and buy some of that $20 an ounce stuff you put on and makes the skin contract. You know, you can do that. Or for $6.99 a tube, you can use Preparation H. Seriously. Preparation H does just as good a job, you know. Of course, you can't get within 10 feet of anybody who smells you, but in any case. But it's true, you know. I read someplace else. 25 years ago, the average model in this country, you know, who appeared on television or in ads and whatever, weighed 7% less than the average weight of an American woman. Only 7% less. You know what the average model weighs today in comparison to the average American woman? 17% less. So imagine if you're an American woman today looking through the fashion magazines, how you feel about yourself. Because isn't it true? How we look is so important. The world tells us we have to stay young and beautiful and... But you see, that's the problem. God says what makes us beautiful is what's in our hearts. What's in our hearts makes us beautiful. Love, mercy, generosity. What's in our hearts is what really makes us beautiful. Not that physical appearance doesn't have some place, but if that's what we think of first, if that's what we think of most, we could be spiritually blind. We don't see things the way God sees them. Another example. A week or so ago, I was thumbing through television at one night, going through my, you know, my clicker, trying to find something. And I came across this comedy program. It was one of these programs on one of the networks where, you know, they film a live comedy show in some theater and then put it on TV. I didn't know the comedian, but he was in a theater that was full, just jam-packed. He's on the stage doing his routine. So I listened for a couple of minutes. The whole routine was based on obscenity, swearing, tearing people apart, viciousness. It was awful. As I'm watching 5 minutes of this, the people in the theater are just roaring. They're laughing. They're falling in the aisles laughing over this stuff. And I thought to myself, you know, 25 years ago, if that comedian had used that material on television, he would have been kicked off TV. 25 years ago, if he'd used that material in a comedy club, he probably would have been kicked out of the comedy club. But here we are now on national television, and people are rolling in the aisles laughing. How did we get here? How did we get here? We see things through the eyes of God. We see things through the world's eyes. What do we laugh at? What makes us laugh? Do we see things through the eyes of God, or are we spiritually blind? One final thought I'd conclude with. A couple of weeks ago, during Stations of the Cross, on Friday afternoon, as I was praying at the station, the 11th station, the first station on this side of the church coming down the aisle, that's the station where Jesus is on the cross with the two thieves. And I'm praying the prayers there, and I could see out of the corner of my eye all the traffic coming by here on West Hollis Street. Friday afternoon, steady stream of traffic coming back and forth. People going home for the weekend, looking forward to the weekend, out to supper, out to a movie, good things. But as I was staying at that station, I thought to myself, you know, I wonder, how many of the people that drive by this church every single day ever stop to think how much they should be thanking God for? How many of them praise God for all the gifts he's given them? How many of the people who drive by this church every single day stop to recognize they need a Savior? They can't save themselves. How many of the people who drive by the church every day would ever think to speak what the good thief speaks? Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Because you see, if we're spiritually blind and we can't say with the good thief, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom," it may be we will never find the kingdom at all. May God bless you.